Good morning, everybody. And I too would like to thank Mr. Pippi for his kind words at the beginning of the feast, even if he did caveat them. But Mr. Henderson and I were talking. We'd just like the following statement, just to be put on record. Mr. Pippi, what a dedicated, courageous, loving, educated, wise, caring, considerate, and above all, patient wife you must have. In my course of work, I have to deal with quantity surveyors. Now, in the UK construction industry, everybody knows what a quantity surveyor is, but apparently they don't have them in America, so I'll give a brief description of what a quantity surveyor will do. He will take the drawings that we prepare, and he will work out how much brickwork goes into making that building. He will work out how much concrete is required, how much roofing, how many slates, how much plaster needs to go on the wall. Not only does he work out the quantities of all the different materials, but he works out the varying sizes of them. So, for example, digging a hole in the ground is not just dig one hole in the ground. There is a rate for a hole that is up to 1 foot deep. And he will work out how many 1 foot deep holes he needs. So it would be, 50 metres of 1 foot deep. He will then work out how many holes that need to be up to 1.5 metres deep, because that takes a different amount of work and a different cost associated with it. And then he'll work out how many holes are over 1.5 metres deep. So they have rather a dull and boring job, as far as I'm concerned, but one that enables the client, before he goes out to get prices from the contractors, to know how much the building's going to cost. Because we have a book called The Standard Method of Measurement, which gives all the prices for all these different elements. So before the contractor starts pricing it, we can go up to the client and say, your building's going to cost you $10 million, $15 million, with a reasonable amount of certainty. A few years ago, I had the pleasure of dealing with a contractor who used to... I'll tell you the story. We had a hospital, and the bills of quantities were prepared and sent out to the contractors to price. And this one contractor, Contractor C, came back and he had the best price of the lot. And we were looking through his bills of quantities, just seeing, if there were any large figures that stood out that may, cause us concern. And we came across one, and it was for digging holes over 2 metres deep. The figure was about three times what it should have been. But there was only 10 cubic metres, so it wasn't, it was just a drop in the ocean, nothing to be concerned about. So he was the lowest price, and he got the job. About a month into it, the contractor turned around and said, oh, by the way, your quantity surveyor got the error. There's an error in the bills of quantities. It's not 10 cubic metres. It's about 1,500 cubic metres. The client ended up with a bill of an extra £500,000 to £700,000. Talking to one of the buyers, who was disillusioned at the end of the project with Contractor C, he said, day one we get the tenders in and we look through them for what's been missed. And we will load the prices accordingly, because we know that when we're on site, you, Mr. Architect, have got to instruct us to do it. And you, Mr. Architect, have got to stick with the price that we've put in. So instead of saying, well, actually, the proper price that you should be paying for us is £25 a cubic metre, you have got to stick with that £75 a cubic metre, because that's been agreed. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs 11. We've mentioned this a few times. Proverbs 11, and this just brings it home. A false balance, in verse 1, is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Today, I just want to look at the work ethic that will be in the kingdom of God tomorrow, when the whole basis of how the world works will be totally and utterly different to how it is now. Contractors and people in business will work out ways of making the super profit, as Contractor C did. But like I said at the beginning of the project, we didn't know that the quantity surveyor had made that error. And what the contractor should have done was just priced it accordingly. And funnily enough, on the other side, on the client side, if a contractor points an error out and says, oh, by the way, you've missed this, even though they may not be the cheapest, they get brownie points, and they will actually stand a better chance of being chosen, because you know that they're going to be more honest and they're going to be more favourable to work with. The worst bit was that the client had no recompense back against the quantity surveyor for this error. He could have turned around and said, well, Mr. Quantity Surveyor, you mismeasured it. I'm now, so many hundreds of thousands of pounds worse off because I've had to pay the higher rate. Well, unfortunately, the law says, well, okay, if the quantity surveyor had done his job properly, you would have still had to have paid it. So the fact that the quantity surveyor made such a huge error and omission, the client just has to live with it and has to live with the fact that he had to pay the higher price. Should be a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. So how are people going to apply themselves in their work ethic in the millennium? Turn with me, please, to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Again, this is a verse that we know very well. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Now, I have a person at work working for me. He worked for the company for about 7-8 years. And about 2 years ago, he left the company because he was being paid more, by another company. And about 6 months ago, he got laid off. And he's come back to our company on a 6-month contract that's just been extended by another 3 months. But his work ethic is to take a drawing that I've marked up for him. I've put a whole load of notes on it, things I need him to do, and he'll start doing them. Oh, I don't know how to do that. No, don't worry. Right, carry on. I'll do that bit. I know how to do that. And then he'll just fold the drawing up, put it back into the folder with the bits that he can't do for somebody else to take care of. And he'll take the next one out, do the bits that he can do. All it takes is for him to come and talk to me and say, look, what do I need to do on these areas of the drawing? Can you just give me some guidance? I'm not sure what you mean. 5 minutes, resolve the thing. But his whole work ethic has meant that at the last minute, when we thought all the drawings were done and ready to issue, we've gone and done a final check and thought, these aren't ready. They're not ready to go out. Because he hasn't applied himself. He hasn't put all of his effort into doing the drawings. There's an example in Genesis, and we won't turn there, but Joseph, when he was bought by Potiphar in verses 1 to 6 of Genesis 39, he was a servant, a slave, and he worked hard, as a slave must do, but he applied himself. And before long, he was promoted up to the head of the household. He was then thrown into prison. He applied himself at doing what he needed to do, and before long, he was in charge of all of the other prisoners. Because whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it prosper. But Joseph had to actually do the work in the first place. He didn't just sit there and do a shoddy job of what was asked of him. He actually got on and did the best job that he could. And he was blessed, and his work was prospered. In the millennium, people will be caring about what they do. There won't be shoddy work, things that fall apart one day after the warranty has run out. There won't be jobs half done that everybody has to live with. One final thing that I'd like to look at is family-orientated work. At the moment, with the economic climate as it is, more and more people are working longer and longer hours because the company is saying, we're going to have to work for free, otherwise we could go bankrupt. So you're going to have to do an extra couple of hours a day to make up for it, so that we can just keep going through this rough period. And more fathers are working longer and longer periods out of the house. Our company is no different. At one point last year, I was resourced on the resources chart at about 220% of my time. I did point out that I couldn't quite do that. But I'm not alone. Companies around the country are getting more and more work for free and longer hours being done. Turn with me, please, to Genesis. Genesis 37, and starting in verse 2. We see a family-based business. Genesis 37 and verse 2. This is the genealogy of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. So, it was a family business. The brothers had been taught by the father how to look after the flocks, and the older brothers were teaching the younger brothers how to do the job. Skills were being handed down from father to son. The sons weren't going off to university and getting a degree in some obscure course that then gives them a really high pay packet because they have a graduate degree and know nothing about the real world of work. And dropping down to verse 13 again. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So again, it's a family-based business, as everybody working together. Skills handed down from father to son and from mother to daughter. But not only are the fathers out at work, according to some statistics I looked up online, the statistics.gov website in the UK, the average wage in the UK is £25,000. According to the BBC News website, the average house price is £225,000. That's nine times the average salary. So in order for a family to try and make ends meet, more and more mothers and fathers are both having to go out for a long period of time to pay the mortgage and the other bills. According to the US Department of Labor, changes in women's work participation, US statistics, in 1950, about one in three women were in the labor force. So that's about 20%. By 1998, nearly three out of every five women, or 60%, of the working age were in the labor force. Just to give you an idea, it actually breaks it down into percentages. When a family has got young children, 63% of women aged 16 to 24 were working in 1998, 76% of women aged 25 to 34, 77% of women 35 to 44, 76% of women aged 45 to 54 were all working. 55 to 64 year olds drops to 51%, and only 8.6% were working after the age of 65. So the whole period of time when the children are growing up, the mothers and the fathers are both out at work. In the millennium, it will be a family-based unit. You know, the man shall leave his parents and marry the wife, and they should be one unit, one flesh. And the whole family works together very well when it is as God created it. So, in conclusion, working in the millennium, it will be a family-based society, with families growing over the years and developing skills. They say a skill is in the blood. You know, as I said, I'm an architect. I design hospitals. My grandfather was a draftsman, and he was in construction. His father was, and his father. And Catherine does drawings when she's drawing, and she's done drawings of hospitals. And you see the car park and all the flows and all the routes for the patients to get in, and there's the operating theatres and there's the ward. And some of her design principles are better than some of the colleagues I have at work. But it's in the blood. Father and son, mother and daughter will be working. Sorry, I missed one scripture I wanted to turn to. Sorry, Proverbs 31. because this just shows how the mother will be working in the millennium. Proverbs 31, the virtuous wife. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Just dropping down, sorry, that was verse 10 of Proverbs 31, and dropping down to 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. She doesn't provide food for the company she works for, or the PLC that Mr. Bowles so loves, and a portion for her maidservant. And drop down to verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. Verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She is working for the family. So the father will be doing the physical labour and the wife will not be just a homemaker that the government just pushes to one side of, and that's just a statistic. It's a vitally important part of the family business. So, like I say, the whole family will be working together. Everybody will be working diligently with their hands, with all their might. Whatever they do, they will be doing to the best of their ability. And there will be a fair balance. They won't be working ways to stiff the client, to get the extra super profit, because I want that nice shiny car, or I want the promotion. It's going to be a fair, equal basis for working. I just want to quote Isaiah 65:22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.